We're going to get after some stuff today. We're in the book of James. This is one of those books that if you have been reading through it, maybe you're reading through it once a day, the entire book, like some of us, or maybe you're reading just a few verses a day, like some of us. If you've been in the book of James ever, you know that it is a how-to book on Christianity, and it's a thumper. You ever been called a Bible thumper? Yeah, Zach says yeah. What does it mean if you're a Bible thumper? Annette says hitting somebody over the head with the word of God. Cool. Any other expressions of what that means? Yeah, Joe. Okay. Yeah. So you can quote the scripture. Joe says you can call him out on something. Any other Bible thumping? What's the definition? So hitting people over the head, knowing God's word. Negative religious. Right. Oh, absolutely. Somebody else is about to say something else.
Physically hitting someone with an actual
Bible. Huh. As if that's actually happened. Okay. You guys, I guess I can say I am a Bible thumper for sure. I love God's word. I don't love to hit people over the head with it. I don't love to shove Jesus down anybody's throat. That's not something that I dig. I don't love people shoving whatever they believe down my throat, like, you got to believe this and all that. But I cannot keep it to myself. God's word says that we are a city set on a hill. Now, when I say God's word, that's actually literally God in the flesh. Jesus, the word of God. Become flesh. He said in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, that you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they place it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus actually says that what you and I do shows him off. And the converse is true as well. What we do sometimes doesn't really show the light all that great. In the book of 3 John, and it's tiny, you call it a book, it's a page, but it's a letter. And he says, John, this old man by this time, he was not John the Baptist, he was John the Apostle, and he was considered and called the Apostle of Love. He said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. You guys, we're going to get into something today, and it's pretty straightforward, but it's going to challenge some of you. It's going to feel condemning to some of you. It's going to feel like for some of you, like, that was for somebody else. By the way, have you ever sat in a message and thought, gosh, my wife really needs to hear this? Or, you know, my husband, today he would go fishing. Or I wish my kids were here. Or maybe, and I'm going to use the word worse, so I'm just kind of letting the cat out of the bag. Worse, you might sit there and go, I got nothing from that. I'm going to say something. And it's somewhat about me, but I think it's about all of us. There's an African proverb that says, find the village idiot. If you cannot learn something from him or her, there's a new village idiot. You guys, be ready. I know I asked you a little bit ago to open your hands, like a few weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, to open your hands and be in a position ready to receive. Please do that again, whether it's physically you do this or just with your heart. And so we're going to get to it. Please join me in the book of James. Again, I'm going to probably reference a little bit of what Pastor John taught over the last couple of weeks, but please go back and check it out if you haven't. And we've got some people from Indiana. You don't have to go do that. But I'm just saying, if you want to get a little bit more of it, you could also read in 15 minutes. Five chapters. Again, chapters, they're more like pages, page and a half. So here we go. Do you have saving faith? This whole thing that we're talking about out of the book of James is real faith in real life. James is like the half-brother of Jesus. He did not believe in Jesus, or at least he really mocked him quite a bit before Jesus died and rose from the dead. But something happened in James that allowed him to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just, that's my whacked out half-bro. And it was the resurrection of Jesus. And he calls him the Lord. Now, I'm the oldest of four boys. It would be super cool if my brothers just called me Lord. But I'm not. Jesus is. And so this man writes this literally like Proverbs. There's just so many pithy things, and they hit, and they just bounce around. And it's like last week we looked at, don't show favoritism. Don't be somebody that's partial to other people and you alienate people from the faith. And he's like, look, that's not how that's going to work. Nothing good happens. Look, there's going to be judgment without mercy for those who don't show mercy. Like, if you've been loved and you've been forgiven and you've been shown mercy, then you should do all that. And then he judges us in what we're going to read today. And it's really powerful. So again, I start with a question. Do you have saving faith? For some of you, it immediately feels judgy. It immediately feels condemning. Who are you, Aaron, to ask that question? I'm one of you. I'm somebody who reads this and goes, oh gosh, he's calling us out. And so there's something for everybody here. There's something for those who are saved, they know they're saved, they're super excited, they've been redeemed, and they live it out. And then people were like, I don't know. I'm just not sure. And what I'm not going to try to tell you today is that you got to do a bunch of stuff and then Jesus will look at you, wink at you, and say, that's my girl. That's my boy. Look at all the cool things he's done. I'm the one that wrote, there's no greater joy than to see that my children walk in the faith. And when I see them walking in the faith of the truth, then I finally love them. No, he's always loved us. But some of us right here today, and even maybe online, are wondering, why don't I feel it? Why don't I show it? And I will say, maybe because you don't have it. Maybe. But for all of us that do have it, this is a great lesson for us today. And so, we're going to talk about a faith that works. Again, let's go to James 2, and we're going to go 14 through 26, but I'm going to break it up a little bit, so I'll go 14 and 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So, also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. If you have faith in Jesus Christ and it doesn't come out in what you do, James is saying, that's a dead faith. And we'll unpack a lot more of that, but he brings up this example of somebody who needs clothing or needs food. And it probably should hit a little bit for those of you who have been reading along, because he just talks about, you see somebody who doesn't look so good, and you sit at my feet rather than, hey man, how can I love you? How can I help you? Hey lady, you look like you need some help. You're becoming judges. And you've actually sinned at one point, and you broke all of the rules. And that's just crazy. And so then he brings up this person who needs help, poorly clothed and lacking in daily food. And you say, God bless you. Be warm. Be filled with these magical words that are flowing from my mouth. You give them a sermon, and they need a sandwich. And you're hearing this from a guy that loves to tell people words. I married a woman who loves to show people words. I was saved by a Savior who's the living Word, lives it out. But I also come from a fairly Baptistic, Reformed background, which would lead me to this question yet again as I've read through James 2. Wait, what? Works equal faith? What about salvation by faith alone? And for some of you that are sitting here this morning, watching online, going to hear this again later, you are going to hear this and go, all right, this is why Luther hated the book of James. Because he knew it was by faith alone that people would be saved. It's grace by faith, and we'll get to that in a little bit. And then there's this dude James saying, you don't have works. Your faith is dead. Not once in all of what we'll read does James say, you have to earn your faith. And nor does he say you have to earn your salvation. Faith is a gift. But when you receive that, it's going to come out, he says, in what you do. So we'll get to it. I'm going to answer this question with the book of James. So let's go back to James 2, and we'll go 18 through 20. Someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. So he's like, there's two different things. Some people have faith, and some people have works. He says, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Look, you guys, I'm 52 years old. Something super fantastic is happening to me right now. I've got this weird skin thing. I don't know what it is. One of my friends who's a doctor said, it could be like a skin tag. Could be a wart. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. If I took this little thing off, you would see it. You wouldn't have to have faith. You would see it. It's not just distracting for others. It's distracting for me. Look, if I told you that I have faith in these shoes, that when I walk through the water, my feet will be dry, you would probably look at these Chucks that are pretty old now and go, that's a weird faith. If I actually walked through the water and my feet were dry, you would start to believe my faith. This is very simple. We say many things that we believe. What do we do about it? My dear friend Ben sits right here with us. Football season is literally right around the corner. There's kids that have told him, I can't wait for football. I'm really excited. I'm going to have a different year this year. I'm going to put in a lot of work, and Ben hasn't seen them all summer. Maybe they're putting in work somewhere else. It'll come out in a couple of weeks, along with a lot of other things that'll come out if they haven't been preparing. You guys, when church people bring up this kind of, you have faith, it'll come out in what you do, we call that judgmental. But everywhere else in life, we just call that normal. Look, on January 6, 1990, I stood before God, my soon-to-be wife, my family and friends, and I said, I do, to Kathy Day. Well, she was Kathy Traxler at the time. I said, I do. I commit. And for 32 years, I've had to live that out. Well, I said it once. I don't have to do anything about it. I made that commitment. Everything else in my life looks like I'm totally committed to me. But I made that profession, and so it's good. On one hand, it's really important to make the vow. On the other hand, you better do something about it. Live it out. And God says, live it out. Someone will say you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? The Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Then Jesus says, and love your neighbors, you love yourself. Those are like the two most important commandments. Is love just professed or is it shown? Anybody? Come on now, both. Right? Both. You got it. You can say it. Some of you say it a bunch and don't show it. Some of you don't say it much at all and you show it. And your husbands or your wives or your kids or your family or friends are saying, can I get a little bit of both? But he says, you believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? See, the Bible, call me foolish. Only if this is applying to you. But can we go back for a second to the whole demon thing? Does anybody remember when Jesus went across the lake to the other side of the lake, and it was a mess over there? It was the Gentiles, a bunch of pagans over there. And does anybody remember who his greeting committee was? Like when he got there, who was waiting for him and his disciples? Legion. Dude's name was Legion because he had a ton of demons in him. And there was another person there, but he wasn't the spokesperson. This is who greeted him. You guys, when Jesus shows up and he sees these men, and the one man in particular who gets all the press, the demons inside this man said, Jesus, Son of God, first of all, professed that Jesus is God. Never in all of my life would I have said I agree with demons. But then I read that. Jesus, Son of God, what do you have to do with me? It's not my time yet. Another time, a demon said the exact same thing. They knew who he was. They believed in Jesus. And trembled. They were afraid. What were they afraid of? To be shown the door. Thanks, Mandy. For eternity. They were afraid of the condemnation that was coming their way. If they had belief in Jesus, isn't that enough? As a preacher, I've said to people, just confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. I'm quoting Romans 10, 9 and 10. And you will be saved. There's a ton of people that believe in Jesus, but there's very little evidence of it in their lives. And the problem with me saying that is then people go, oh, I just got to do more. You definitely can't earn salvation, but you can receive it. And when you do, you will live it, and you're going to be herky-jerky about it. You're going to make some seriously stupid mistakes. I mean, we only got a few more minutes, but maybe we could have some testimony of how stupid. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. But James makes a point here that I literally have up on the screen, and I want to thank you, Pete, for putting that up there. Believing and trembling are not enough. There's a lot of people that believe that Jesus is God. My friend said to me one time, I said, man, have you surrendered your life to Jesus? He goes, you mean like pray to prayer? Hell, I've done that like 7 times. Kind of an interesting choice of words. I said, well, all the stuff that you've got going on with you, how does your faith come out? Oh, I just believe. I'm like, just believe? Isn't belief going to come out? Isn't faith going to come out? I want to come back to the wait what question that I gave you earlier. Isn't it salvation by faith alone? Yeah, it is. If you can, keep your finger right there in James. I'm going to put a little ribbon there because, well, I've got a fancy Bible. All right. We're going to go to Ephesians. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Some of you are like, finally, some good preaching. Hang in there with me. It's been a while since I preached, so you just got to deal with it, I guess. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Ephesians 2 starts with, you were dead in your trespasses. And then God made you alive. Dead. This is such a mystery as well. How can you be dead and then made alive? A lot of us are like, man, I was really struggling. If it was like a picture of us being in a lake, I was like really having a hard time keeping my head above water. And then Jesus came and saved me. Actually, that's not what the Bible says. You weren't trying to keep your head above water. You're dead. If we're going back to the lake, we'd be at the bottom of it. And so it's all Jesus. And yet there's this great mystery of where he does this great work. We become alive. And then we do something with it. Check it out. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Does Paul and James agree with each other? We'll get into that in a little bit. But it sounds like, maybe it's a little bit different. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You and I cannot work for faith. We can't work for salvation. We can't be set free because of us. But then verse 10 just wraps it up super nice for us. For we are his workmanship. Somebody, church, tell me who his refers to. God. God's workmanship. God's work. God's crafty work. God's masterpiece. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our salvation is not the result of our works, but because we're saved, we're going to go to work. We're going to do things. You can't even help it. You'll start to shine as the maybe popular to you, maybe not. Rapper Lecrae says, if you see me giving somebody something to eat, you better thank Jesus because I ain't that sweet. It's not us that does it, and yet it is. We didn't source it, but we live it. Romans 8:33 says, salvation, justification is him alone. You can't earn it, but you can receive it, and then it comes out. As John Calvin, hardcore Calvinist, they even came off his name, right? Thank you. You feel it? Okay. Appreciate you. He says it's faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. And then he gives us in the book of James two examples of faith that works. We'll go 21 through 26. We'll probably finish close to an hour from now. No, I'm just kidding. But so remember the question before. Can somebody actually read out loud for me James 2:20? It won't be on the screen. We're just going to let you read it good and loud. And it's a question. Could you see if we were the foolish person? Yes, please, show me. Foolish people don't want to be shown anything. They know it all. My mom said, you know, You're 17. You should move out now while you know everything. 2 years later, I got married. What you want now, mama? Sure, I did not know everything. But do you want to be shown, you foolish person, as Ben read, thank you, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? That's in Genesis 22, by the way. You see that faith was active along with his works. And faith was completed, made whole, made perfect by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. He was called a friend of God. His faith that was counted to him as righteousness was earlier in his life before he was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. He had faith in God, and it came out in what he did. Paul says, it's by faith alone, through grace, that you and I are saved. James says, since you're saved, it's going to come out in what you do. It's not your acts, not your works, not your abilities that saves you. It's God. But since he does that, it comes out in what you do. And some of you right now need an adjustment. You need to view God as God, you as saved, and living it out. We've asked for years about people getting into groups, and we've had very little response. Very little. Well, does it look like this and look like this and look like this? It could probably look a whole lot like you want it to look. But as Pastor John said a couple weeks ago, if you talk about it and don't do anything, it's a fail. Oh, I really mean it. My mother got invited 5 years in a row to this Christmas dessert theater at North Shore Baptist Church. She grew up Catholic. To go to a Baptist church, her mother, my grandmother, may God rest her soul, just about slapped my mom. My mom earned a bunch of different slaps, but that one was like, she's going to church. She goes 5 years in a row, and she hears about the good news of Jesus Christ and what he's done, and she believed in it the whole time, raised her hand and all that, and never did anything with it. The sixth year she goes, she got check box happy on everything on this response card. I want to go to a church. I want to be in a group. I want all this kind of stuff. And when they called her, she didn't say, oh, I was just having an emotional experience. She's like, I mean it. Jesus is God and I'm not. My mom got baptized as an adult. Her whole life started changing. And I was like, yeah. I tried all that. I already knew all this stuff about Jesus. I was the one inviting you to church. You remember that? I'm not going to church with you. But I could not shake the fact that my mom and dad's lives were changing. You know how I knew they were changing? Because they said they were. Friends, how did I know my mom and dad's lives were changing? I saw it. Look, we can fake it a little bit, but when you get close to the real thing, it looks like the real thing. My grandma and grandpa moved to Arizona, and I helped move them down there. And on this, I don't know what it's, Bell or whatever, there's so many roads that just go forever. I think it was on Bell. I see these orange trees, and they're just kind of in the median, right? Literally right in the middle of the boulevard. I said, hey, Grandpa, are those oranges for free? I said, this is crazy, all this sun. I'm like 28. I sounded like I was 10. I'm about 14 now at 52, so that jives. He goes, yeah, you can go ahead and have one. I'm like, sweet. So I went out, and I kind of did the, because, you know, I pick it. I'm like, oh, it's kind of pale, but whatever. He goes, hey, my nickname growing up was Ace, not for obvious reasons, just kindness. But he goes, Ace, let me open that up for you. And he whips out the grandpa obligatory knife, cuts it in half, and it's rancidly dry and nasty inside. It looked really cool on the outside. You got a little closer and you realize, oh, that's fake. That's no good. You and I are going to know that we are saved by the change inside that comes outside. We're going to know, as my friend Leslie says, often, God just wants us to crawl up into his lap. Know that he loves us. And he's like, go show it. I won't take that love away from you. But some of you just have a demonic type faith where you believe, but there's no proof. There's been no transformation. Abraham believed because God gave him the belief, but it came out. It was completed in what he did. Look, there's salvation that's called justification. And we're about to read something that sounds, again, contradictory, so I'm excited to see how we work through this. But there's salvation and justification that we've received from God. There's sanctification, where he's making us new and whole, like we've already been saved for eternity, we're with God forever, but sanctification is we're living it out and we're becoming more and more like Jesus. And then one day there's glorification, where we're all 100% perfect. Can you just gently, lovingly, with a smile on your face, look to the person or people around you and say, you're not perfect. You're not perfect. You're super close. You are just so close. But you are perfectly loved and you're perfectly forgiven. One day you're going to be perfect. So this is a work in progress. God isn't like, gosh, I'm still working on Harley. Let's see what happens. No, he's done as far as salvation is concerned and not going to hell. But a dead faith for us is a faith that does nothing. I love this. Verse 24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. This is back to the Calvin quote again. You are saved by faith alone. You're justified by God alone, by faith in him. But that faith is never alone. Hand in hand. Look, I love baseball. I love it. Favorite sport. I got a glove that was so nice. It was like top of the line, and my friend just gave it to me because he graduated, was going into the Air Force, and he's like, look, you're better with this than I am anyways. I'm like, wow, bro, thanks. If I looked at that glove and said, man, that is just so cool, it would never by itself go out into center field and make amazing catches. You know what it needed in it? A hand that was attached to an arm and the rest of the body. And then at least some ability to be able to move it around. You and I are the glove, and he's the one that made us. He's the hand, and he's crazy about us. And he wants us to do work. Not for his love, but because we're loved. So from his love. Not for it. I'll move on to Rahab. Verse 25. In the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works? When she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Please go back and look at this in Judges. We've already talked about her before, but we'll talk about her one more time very quickly. She believed and testified that Yahweh was God. All of us know it. Our hearts are melting. She had a chance to do something with her faith. And so she hid the spies, told the people looking for the spies that they went in another direction. And when the authorities went the other direction, she said, "Hey, remember me." And they said, "We will. You have to put this cord out and all this kind of stuff, but you'll be saved." Jesus says this in Matthew 9 twice to two different women. "Your faith has made you well." Who did they have faith in? Jesus. If we have faith in Jesus, it's going to come out in what we do. And we're going to stumble and we're going to fumble, and that's okay, and there's grace for that. But for some of you, you don't have that faith in Jesus because it really hasn't made any difference. And not because I can tell, you can tell. Remember that when people say, "Pastor Aaron, I know that you read the Bible and you talk about it all the time and you're all this evangelism, blah, 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 all these things. How do I know the voice of God?" That's a really good question, but we start with this. You know how to ignore the voice of God. Start with listening to what he's already said. And go from there. Grow in that. So she didn't get saved because she had an intellectual faith or a demonic faith where she was freaked out but didn't do anything about it. She was saved by a faith that was in God, and it came out in what she did. Some of you, you need to start in your faith with repentance. Like, "I'm sorry, God, I've just been messing with this whole faith thing. I humble myself. I submit to you." And then you actually live like it. Some of you need to keep on the path that you've been going. Like, you know that Jesus is real. There's some struggles and some challenges. There's some boredom. There's some, "Gosh, I think I should do some things differently." Then listen to his voice and keep walking with him. And some of you are just on this path where you're just almost like the Midas touch, right? Everything that God puts in your path, just great stuff happens. That's going to be a brief moment. But enjoy it. But your God is not holding back. He loves you. He's crazy about you. He wants you. So verse 26. "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." So I need to ask you to do something. It's an examination. And so I'm going to take you to 2 Corinthians 13:5. I'm going to part with this. 2 Corinthians 13:5. "Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. But do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test." What's a test? That we would give you a test? Well, I happen to have one from a guy named Warren Wiersbe. It's really, really good. As a matter of fact, I have 20 of them. If these go out, then I'm going to go make some more copies. Yes, I know how to make copies. Gosh, barely. This is an examination. This is not a judgment. This is not a statement on who you are. This is a chance for you to ask 9 pretty solid questions about where you're at. You could do way less than that. Do I have a faith in Jesus Christ that comes out in how I interact with people and what I do? Am I a city set on a hill? If so, you cannot be hidden. It's going to happen. Ask some people that you love around you, what is my faith like? What do I look like? Not so you can finally be accepted by them, but so you could challenge your faith. Final question. Does your faith work? D.L. Moody said, "Bibles should be bound in shoe leather." You're going to put it to work. It's going to get out there and walk it out. He also was a shoe salesman. I can get behind so many things. That's right there. I love shoes. We're talking about real faith and real life. And invariably, I'm going to have people come up and say, you missed this and you missed that and you missed that. I'm a work in progress. Point out what I missed. And then go and do something about it. Jesus loves you. If you have not come to Jesus, today's your day. Submit yourself. Confess. And have that faith that lives itself out in the so many normal ways and some profound ways, some marital ways, parenting ways, work ways, what you watch ways, not earning. It comes out. I want to honor God. I have this hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus says, you will be filled. Father, thank you so much. Gosh, there's so many things on my mind, Lord, and probably tons more. Thank you so much for my friends, my family. I thank you for my friends that aren't in the family of Jesus yet. I thank you for those that are. I thank you for what you're speaking to us. Help us, Lord, in a day like this. We're saying we believe could actually just get us in trouble. And then actually living like we believe could really cost us something. May we remember that you're worth it. You're awesome. You're God. You're the one that saves us. And then we get to show that we're saved by what we do. Help us not to be people that get all caught up in works. But help us not to leave those out either, because that's how people see. God, I pray all this in Jesus' righteous name. Amen.